Madhava Kunja Bihari Ayarada Madhava Kunja Bihari Kopijana Balaba Rama, Ramo, Rama, Hare Paramahansa, Paribhajagacharya, Sada, Sada, Shishima, Svanga, Sasi, Bhakti, Vedanta, Goswami, Maharaj, Shri Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Jaya Om Vishnupada, Paramahansa, Paribhajagacharya, Sada, Sada, Shishima, Svanga, Shri Bhakti, Siddhanta, Sarasati, Thakama, Shri Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Ananda Koti, Vaishnava, Ki Jai. ISKCON, Founder, Acharya, Shri Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Ramacharya, Shri Haridas, Thakur, Ki Jai. प्रेम से गौर श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री शिवास आदि गौर भक्त की जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गौ गोविंद श्याम कुंदर गिरी गोविंदाम की जय श्री श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय श्री श्री धाम की जय श्री श्री मायापुर धाम की जय श्री श्री मथुर धाम की जय श्री श्री जगन्नाथपुर धाम की जय तुलसी देवी की जय भक्ति देवी की जय जमन माय की जय गंग माय की जय गौर प्रेमानंद परिणाम संकीर्तन की जय श्री श्री बृहत मृंग की जय शारद कृष्ण की जय श्री गणिताय की जय श्री श्रीजात बालदेव सुबद की जय श्री वार गिरिधारी की जय श्री श्रीनिवासन धाम की जय श्याम वीर भक्त वृंद की जय ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग We're reading from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita by Solana Satsukhas Goswami. Swami invites the hippies. Stay high forever. That's another chapter. Stay high forever, October 13th. The Village Voice ran four large photographs of the Love Pageant Rally. The article stated, the backbone of the celebration was the mantras, holy chants from the Sanskrit Bhagavad Gita. And for 3 hours it became like a boat on a sea of rhythmic chanting, led by 15 disciples of Bhaktivedanta Swami, who operates from a storefront on 2nd Avenue. The mantras ebbed and flowed with the rhythm of drums, flutes, and soda-cap tambourines. October 18th. It was Sunday, and again they went to Tompkins Square Park. Swamiji played the bongo as before, striking the drum head deftly as ever, his nimble fingers creating drum rolls as he sat in the rug in the autumn summer afternoon. His authentic melodic voice recited the prayers of the previous spiritual masters, Gaura Kishore, Bhakti Vinod, Bhakti Siddhanta, the centuries-old disciplic succession in which he was the living representative, now in the 60s in this remote part of the world. He sang their names in duty, deference, and love as their servant. He sat surrounded by his American followers under the tall oak tree amid the maze-like fences of the park. And the same magic occurred. This time, the hippies came with more ease and familiarity. Allen Ginsberg came again, and 100 others gathered as Prabhupada loudly sang, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Of the hundreds who came by, some stayed briefly and then left. Some decided to listen and chant for a few minutes, or even for the entire afternoon. And a few, very few, marked their encounter with the Swami as an unforgettable change in their lives. Bob Correns was looking for the Swami. He was walking with his stylishly dressed wife and 2-year-old son, Eric. Bob was 26 and worked as a supervisor in the New York City Welfare Department. He had grown up in Washington, D.C., where he had met his wife. He had a full face and broad forehead, a clear voice, and steady eyes. Bob. After I graduated from George Washington University, I decided to go straight to what I thought was the heart of the material world, New York City, to seek out whatever was the highest truth. I ended up living around the corner from the East Village head shop. Bob didn't think his job as a social worker really helped anyone. His clients, over the years, seemed to maintain their same outlook and habits. He and his wife frequented West Village coffee houses and attended lectures by Leary and Alpert on expanded consciousness and had taken part in a recent peace march. Bob had come to feel that his aspirations for a master's degree and a better apartment were unfulfilling, and he was looking for something more. Bob. I heard about the I Ching, a book that was supposed to chart a person's course in life. So I got someone to do a reading for me. The direction was, push upward through darkness. I look at it as a sign, a spiritual sign. I took it as a good sign, a spiritual sign. And then I purchased the East Village Other, and I saw the article headed, Save Earth Now. That was a confirmation. Save Earth Now. There was a picture of the Swami. I had read in a book by a Sikh teacher that there could be no higher knowledge without a spiritual master. Every morning, on his way to work, Bob used to pass by the Swami's storefront. Curious, he stopped once and peered in the window, only to find an empty room with some straw mats on the floor and one of the Swamiji's boys. Oh, these people are Buddhists, he thought. The door had been opened, and the boy came over and invited him in. No thanks, he said, thinking. I don't want anything to do with Buddhism. And he went on to his job. In a head shop one day, he had picked up one of the Swami's Bhagavatams and looked through it. But he thought it was too advanced, so he put it back down. After he read the article in the East Village Other, his interest increased. He thought that today might be the last Sunday of chanting in the park before the cold weather came. And so he went to the park, hoping to find the Swami and his chanters. His wife was beside him, pushing Eric in a stroller, when he heard the ching-ching of the hand cymbals and a chorus of rhythmic chanting from the south side of the park. Thinking it must be the Swami, he followed the sound while his wife took Eric to play on the swings. Alone now, Bob drew closer, moving into the crowd until he could see the kirtan party and the Swami sitting under the tree. Bob stood among the crowd of hundreds unnoticed. Just read a couple of my paragraphs. Everything is happening because of me, thought 19-year-old Judy Kozlowski. Everything I see is my own creation, and I am the supreme. Everything is mine. As the thought of being God obsessed her, Judy forgot her father and everything else. She was confused. If I am God, why can't I control everything? And why am I so fearful on LSD? Judy was a student at the City College of New York, majoring in art and history. She was taking guitar lessons from the Reverend Gary Davis, the blues singer and Christian preacher, who was teaching her the art of sad soul music. Today, however, under the influence of LSD, she had the overwhelming impression that she was God. She'd had a fight with her father, who seemed cold and distant to her and couldn't understand her. And she had left her parents' home in the Bronx and traveled downtown. She was going to visit a girlfriend, and Tompkins Square Park happened to be on the way. When she reached the park, the kirtan was going on, but she couldn't see much because of the crowd. She weaved her way in closer until she could see some men, one shaven-headed, several bearded, dancing with upraised hands. And in the center, she saw the Swami sitting on the rug, playing his drum. That was Rupanuga, Bob Collins, and Judy Kozlowski. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, translations and purports by His Divine Grace, Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. And we're reading from the third canto, seventh chapter, 36th verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Rayanam Namaskritam Naram Chaivam Narotamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Dato Jayamudirayat Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Utama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. Anuvratanam Shishyanam Putranam Chan Vijotaman Anapristam Api Bruyu Gurabo Dinan Vatsala Anuvratanam Shishyanam Anuvratanam Shishyanam Putranam Chadvichotamat Putranam Chadvichotamat Anapristam Api Bruyo Anapristam Api Bruyo Gurabo Dina Vatsala Gurabo Dinavatsala Anuvratanam Shishyanam Putranam Chadvijotama Anapristam Api Bruyu Purabo Dinavatsala Anuvratanam Shishyanam Uttranam Chadvijotama Anapristamapi Bruyu Purabo Dinavatsala. Anuvratanam Shishyanam. The followers. Shishyanam. Of the disciples. Putranam. Of the sons. Cha. Also. Vija Uttama. O best amongst the Brahmins. Anupristam. That which is not asked for. Api, in spite of. Guruhu, please describe. Guruvaha, the spiritual masters. Dinavatsalaha, who are kind to the needy. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. O best among the Brahmins, those who are spiritual masters are very kind to the needy. They are always kind to their followers, disciples, and sons, and without being asked by them, the spiritual master describes all that is knowledge. Responsively, O best among the Brahmins, those who are spiritual masters are very kind to the needy. They are always kind to their followers, disciples, and sons, and without being asked by them, the spiritual master describes all that is knowledge. There are many subjects to be known from the bona fide spiritual master. Followers, disciples, and sons are all on one level for the bona fide spiritual master, and he is always kind to them and always speaks to them on transcendental subjects, even though he is not asked by them. That is the nature of the bona fide spiritual master. Vidura appealed to Maitreya Muni to speak on subjects which he might not have asked. Anuvratanam Shishyanam Putranam Chadvijotama Anupristam Apibhuyur Purabho Dinavatsalaha. O best among the Brahmins, those who are spiritual masters are very kind to the needy. They are always kind to their followers, disciples, and sons, and without being asked by them, the spiritual master describes all that is knowledge. Om Adinatibhanam Vasyadhanam Janasalataya. Prabhupada's translation, he speaks about spiritual masters who are very kind to the needy. Usually we think of needy as being dina vatsala, is the word, the Sanskrit word. Poor dina. And vatsala, meaning the friendly needy, so to speak, refers to those who are not just poor or economically impoverished or not prosperous, but to those who are spiritually weak or spiritually uninformed. That's the meaning of Patita Pavan Lichter, the fallen, of Dina Vatsala, the friend of those who are poor, the poor. So when we speak of poor, we don't really speak of those who are materially impoverished. In this way, Krishna consciousness appeals to people who are materially prosperous because they're devoid, generally devoid, of spiritual prosperity. And spiritual prosperity means knowing who I am, Jiva, Jiva, as I refer to Krishna Das, that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. That's not knowing that is real poverty, and knowing that is real prosperity. It is said that poverty is the wealth of the Brahmin. Meaning is that one who is happiness is within, as it is said in the Bhagavad Gita, who rejoices, who is happy and rejoices within, and his aim is inward, is intelligent among human beings. Such
people are liberated in the Supreme and ultimately attain the Supreme. That's real happiness and real wealth, not material prosperity. Sometimes Krishna consciousness is depicted as something that is uplifting the poor, which it is in a way. We're going to disaster areas sometimes to bring prasad and clothing and medical supplies. But in a larger sense, Krishna consciousness appeals to everyone, whether they're in that condition or they're in a so-called economically prosperous condition. And we understand that being in an economically prosperous condition is not necessarily, and generally is not, very beneficial. Yasyaham anugranami harishe karanam shanai. Krishna says in the Bhagavatam that the first installment of my mercy is I take everything away, everything that is blocking one's spiritual advancement. There's another saying in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhogeshwaya pasaptanam tayapaditya chetasam yavasayat nikabudir samado navidiyate. And there's that says that for one who is attached to material nature and is bewildered by things that are of this world, to such a person devotional service, pure devotional service, doesn't take place in the heart. There's a Christian saying that's something like that. Anybody know what it is? Can you say it? More difficult? Or exactly. More difficult for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go to heaven. So it's very difficult to be materially prosperous because it's another layer of false ego. It's another layer of sophistication. It's another way of thinking that I own everything. I'm the master of all I survey, the monarch of all I survey. Prabhupada quoted that English proverb. Therefore, a person who is spiritually advanced sees that everyone is actually needy, not just those who are materially impoverished, but that everyone is needy. And that's the vision, isn't it, of the transcendentalist. That's what real kindness is. That's mentioned here. Always kind to their followers. Well, what is kindness? Is it just giving someone some money who is poor? Is it just being nice and polite all the time? I noticed, being born in America, that people in this country tend to be polite and more polite. Maybe they're more innocent, but they tend to be polite, except when they get behind a wheel with an automobile. So that kind of makes you wonder what this politeness is really all about, what this kindness is all about, and it makes you think a little philosophically about what kindness really is. And it's just not necessarily being polite and courteous and obedient and loyal and faithful and all that sort of thing, and moral, quote unquote. But it's actually understanding what the essence of suffering is, that it's not knowing who we are, it's not knowing what the right goal is. And real kindness, of course, is to understand that principle and to develop that understanding. It sounds very, very dry and very clinical and very antiseptic to just say, well, I'm not this body, and if you know that, everything, you'll be happy, everything will be all right. Doesn't matter. That's what a lot of people think Hinduism is. They think, most people think, especially the Vatican, they kind of think that Hinduism is all impersonalist. It's all based on Shankaracharya because his translations, or his Sanskrit is very expert, and most of the Western scholars like to translate his works, thinking that that's the be-all and end-all. And then we say, as Vaishnavas, our first saying is that we're not the body. And people think that that's also not very, you know, okay, so we're not the body, so what? But there's another dimension or another corollary to that, and that's that. There's a correlative terms, Prabhupada calls correlative terms, the soul and God. They're correlative because both are of spirit. Both are indistinguishable by material empirical methods. We can't see the soul, we can't see God. But we have an understanding. It's very incredulous for us to think that someone can really think they're the body if they're not the soul. But actually, most of us were thinking that way at one time, that somehow I'm this body. It can be said a million times, and we may not understand what it means, but it's actually there. But beyond that, beyond knowing that I'm not the body, is to know that there is God. Beyond knowing there is God is to know Jivera Swarupa Hoi Nitya Krishna Das, that my constitutional position as a soul, and knowing that there is God, is to serve Him. That is the meaning of kindness. And according to this verse, one who is really kind sees beyond, or sees the bigger picture, and doesn't see that there are These are my followers, and that's what matters. In the Bhagavatam, the family members are talked about as being fallible soldiers. Or Prabhupada uses the term, my men. Of course, it can mean women too, and sons can mean daughters, but in the modern context. The meaning is that there is a larger